Sci-Fi Radio Theater, the internet's premier source of original science fiction radio plays, presents the Bagua Tweebox, a sci-fi murder mystery.
Now, what did you want to see me about?
My brother was murdered. I want you to find the killer since the police can't.
This electrifying 8-part series is available now as a podcast on iTunes and on sci-fi-radiotheater.com. New episodes uploaded on Sundays.
Sci-Fi Party Line.
Another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Eric.
Hey.
Hey. And guess what? Today we're going to do Game of Thrones.
Yes. Yeah. Day on date, pretty much.
Yeah. We just got through watching it and was like, you want to do an episode? I was like, yeah, I want to do an episode. So we did an episode of Game of Thrones. This is very, I guess, intense show. Sort of, not really, but I can't stop watching it, so, you know, I want to get in there while everything is still stirring about and talk about it as it happens, and not at the end of the season like Eric teased me about. All right. Okay, so we start with Theon. He's doing his weird posturing because he has just taken Winterfell, and he killed two farm boys, but said it was, oh god, I don't have the names pulled up. He said,
yeah,
it was the
Rickon and Bran.
Bran, yes. And, but it wasn't them.
Starks.
And but everybody thinks it's them. And
yeah, and that's not really revealed until the very end of the episode. That was like the big cliffhanger last week, was seeing like the charred bodies of the children.
Did you think it was them? Did you have any? Because I didn't think it was them all along. I just assumed that the kids on the farm was burned.
Well, the only reason, okay, obviously I already read it, but but even if I hadn't read it already, they do make mention of that at the very beginning of the episode last week. So if anybody was paying attention to that, it's, you could kind of put two and two together, because they just highlighted it, you know, 40 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends just how keen you were to that, but maybe if you weren't paying attention to the beginning, it would have been more of a shock. They definitely, it's more convincing in the book, but with Game of Thrones, I mean, especially if you, when you're reading it, unless this applies to like all the characters, unless the author specifically describes the death scene and you, like, you know, their heads chopped off or whatever, unless that's specifically written in the book, you can never assume. Like, it's always very tricky, you know. There, a lot of times you assume someone's dead and they're not. So.
Well, just because they mentioned it at the beginning of that episode that, I don't know, they hinted at, they met, a brand said, well, you know, we're not going to stop there because if we do, those kids are being in trouble and their whole family will be in trouble. So I personally, because Theon is a coward and he's stupid and he doesn't know what he's doing, I just figured that he would take the kids and burn them.
Right.
Yeah. So he got a visit from his weird sister that they did the finger in horse ride of weirdness with when,
well,
she made her first,
man, appearance. You mentioned the finger stuff. I don't remember that part. I remember, yeah, some handy groping stuff going on, but
dude, he stuffed his hands down her pants and was going to town while I was riding the horse.
I remember more of I remember more of the shirt and not the pants in the show, but.
Okay, well, maybe, you know, I saw things, but whatever it was, he was doing something.
But again, he didn't know. He didn't know.
Yeah, but you just met some person, and she didn't look that clean. I wouldn't stuck my hand anywhere on that lady.
Yeah, but that's how people look on the Pike.
Okay, thank you. You know,
they look like that, kind of like weather worn.
But you know, after that though, I kind of like her because she keeps putting Theon in his place. He can't live up to her expectations. He doesn't really do anything right. He's not really getting any respect from her. And the more he tries to, the less it happens.
Yep, very true, very true.
Yeah, because she mentioned that you took this town, but it's not near a sea, and we're boat people. You know, we see people, so this place is of no use to us.
Yeah, it's true. True.
So I don't know what's gonna happen. Like, is what do you think is gonna happen? Is Rob, because Rob still doesn't know, right?
Oh, you mean what's gonna happen up north with all that?
Yeah, because Rob still doesn't know that Theon has taken, or did he find out this episode?
I don't think he found out in this episode, and I don't think we're gonna find out for a long time what's gonna happen up in Winterfell.
Hmm. Well, that's weird. I want him to find out now, because that's going to really tear him. Like, what do I do? Do I go take? Because right now they know that they're sending ravens to home and they're not getting messages back. So they know something's weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what they're going to do, but it's kind of exciting. Also, speaking of Robb Stark, him and his mom, Catelyn, got into it.
Yeah, and rightly so. I don't know. Because it doesn't really. It's one of these things that. That Catelyn or Caitlyn or Catelyn, I guess they say on the show, that she doesn't. It really doesn't make any sense. I mean, in the context of the world that they live in and the way things work, and she knows it, and it seems silly in the book, and it seems silly in the show. And I mean, she just basically screws over her son's position. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. But do you think that maybe because they sent out horses that they're going to catch up with the guy? Or do you think him and Brianna are going to make it to wherever the hell they're going?
Well, they're not going to get recaptured by the Starks.
You think? Oh, okay. So, damn it. I was holding out hope for that.
No, because they keep hinting. They keep hinting other stuff. See, this is where geography plays into things.
Okay.
Because they mentioned it like two or three times, or maybe two or three times between last week and this week. When they're in Harrenhal, what's his name? Daddy Lannister.
Mm.
They might keep forgetting, but you know what I mean?
I just call him Lord Lannister.
Yeah, Lord Lannister. He keeps reminding Clegane, the super tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like three times now in the last two episodes. He says, there's that gang that's running around.
Oh, yes.
Causing ruckus.
The Brotherhood or something?
Yeah. He's like, you got to get him. You got to get him. He keeps bringing that up. And geographically speaking, Brienne and Lannister Jr., they're heading in that direction. Like, they're heading towards that territory. So.
You think he's going to get captured by those Brotherhood, and then that's going to be a problem?
Something's going to happen. Yeah, because mm-hmm. They're getting into that
land. Well, I did pick up, because they said something about Casterly Rock.
Casterly Rock is where the Lannisters are from. That's all.
Oh, okay.
They've never shown it in the story yet, but it's the extreme southwest of the Westeros continent. If you think of Westeros as England, it's like where Wales is.
Okay.
But Casterly Rock is extreme southwest. It's where the Lannisters are from. And Stark, he's in the Riverlands. And that's kind of like you go through the Riverlands to get to Casterly Rock.
Okay.
And that's where they've been pushing this whole time. Rob's forces this whole season, since last season, they've been trying to head towards Casterly Rock.
Hmm. So, like you said, I didn't think that Catelyn, like, I don't understand her motive for letting him go. Other than...
Well, she says it, but it's so weak and it's so lame. You know?
Yeah, that's why it's just like words were coming out of her mouth, but I didn't feel it. Like, what are you talking about? That's stupid.
Like, she just, like, her rationale is like, oh, at least I have a chance of getting one or both of my daughters back. But it's such a bad trade, because even if the Lannisters agree to that, you just lose. Jaime Lannister is worth far more than two girls in the land of Game of Thrones. You know, he's one of the chief leaders of the Lannisters, and it's like a major bargaining chip that Rob has in his pocket, and really
especially for Cersei. Yeah, she wants him bad.
Oh, of course she does, but the point is, you're really going to trade like the enemies, like one of their best generals, for just like two whiny girls? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, they're her daughters, and I think it was
no I mean yes I understand from a mother point
yeah,
of view
yeah.
But Catelyn shows throughout this series that she understands what's at stake, like the big picture. And for a character who seemingly seems so intelligent, so smart, and gets how the quote-unquote Game of Thrones works, it's such a rookie move. Like, it's not a worthy trade. You're totally screwing over your son. It doesn't make any sense. And
if she wasn't his mother, he would have killed her.
Yeah, and if it was a weaker female character, you'd be like, yeah, that's just dumb. But why Catelyn Stark, who, you know,
we'll figure out the repercussions of that and see if it's going to mean anything later on down the line in the show. I don't know what it's done for the book. Will you say yay or nay if it means anything later on or no?
What are you talking about?
Catelyn's move to let the Jaime Lannister go. Does that have repercussions later on?
See, be honest, where I'm reading and I'm like somewhere like mid book three, which would be like season three or something. That still hasn't gone to fruition yet, so I don't even know.
What?
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, but the thing is though, time is a lot different, like in the books and the show. Like, I mean, when things happen relative to other things, so some things drag out forever in the books, and then sometimes other things just happen like in a flash on the TV show, and it's really weird. It's really confusing sometimes for someone who's read it. It's really confusing.
It's ridiculous. So we have Tyrion and his gold cloak sitting around trying to plot and scheme. And Cersei thinks he has Tyrion's whore. And he has, like, that whore you mentioned last week. The one that's been traveling around a bit.
Yeah, yes. The one that was invented for the series, which doesn't exist in the books.
Right. So Cersei, for whatever reason, found her, but didn't find the other one. And that kind of shook Tyrion a little bit. I think they may be in trouble because maybe it was like a test to see how he was going to respond or something. And maybe she knows the real lady or something. I don't know. Something was weird about that. And it seems like it was a big test. And then Cersei has something else up her sleeve because he doesn't give a damn about the roaming whore.
Right. But he's trying to let her think that he does.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what's going to go on because it was really kind of irresponsible for him to bring her there and to have that much love for her. And she's just sitting around in the castle. So, like, how hard is it to find her?
Well, it's just because she doesn't know who she is, et cetera, et cetera. But it's weird because this is one of the things they do in the series. Like, they have that conversation Cersei and Tyrion do where Cersei's making fun of him because he's been in love with whores before, whatnot. And they do this in the show where they just have this conversation now, and it's supposed to make up for scenes that didn't make it into the series already. Because you learn in the books, they go to great length of explaining this, like in the first book. There's this whole backstory about Tyrion.
I think they told that story, right?
They may have given pieces of it in the series, but it's much more there in the books where you get the whole backstory about Tyrion's first love when he was a teenager. Was this girl he fell in love with, and I think like maybe Jaime had bought him for her for his birthday, but he fell in love with her and he got married to her in secret, and he wanted to run away from his family and just live with his new bride. But then like a month or so into his marriage, his father found out and just like had her like raped like by like 50 guys and then killed and whatever. And this is all told like in the first book before Tyrion even gets in his first big battle in the first series. And Tyrion says something. I think he's like telling the story to somebody in the first book, and maybe he's telling his right-hand man guy or somebody, and he just says something like, you know, something like a Lannister always pays his debts. And that's, I don't know. I've always remember that scene because I always think that's foreshadowing something else, which I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
Oh, I'm not really in the mood to see that, really, because I kind of like his girl, and she seems sort of sweet, and she has this little mystery, like she hinted that she may be royalty or at least highborn, right? And so if she's like highborn who ran away from home, then to have something that tragic happen to, I don't know, it's
Well, I don't know what's
just.
going to happen to her, but remember though, when his dad sent him to take over as the Hand in King's Landing, he's like, go do that. But she doesn't set foot in the city. He said that, like, I think, I don't remember if that was the end of season one or right at the beginning of season two. But of course, Tyrion brought her anyway.
Yeah, he's just asking for trouble. So that, I don't think that'll end well. No.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get to Rob, he who is now captured now by the redhead
Yeah.
lady who is weird, and her people has him now, and they're traveling somewhere, I don't know. But his boys who did not find him, they found some sort of rock, and under it was from the first people, and then they have the obsidian spears. So we don't know what that's gonna do or what that means or where Jon Snow is going or what's like, I don't know what they're doing.
Well, see, that's another disappointing area of the series, the way it's unfolded, because much like how Daenerys' story was really engaging in season one, you could just follow Daenerys' storyline in season one, and it's entertaining all on its own. In the second book, Robb Stark's little storyline, which is completely separate from everybody else, is a lot more interesting and compelling, and almost like a mini book in of itself. In book
Rob
two,
Stark or Jon Snow?
Jon Snow. Sorry, I don't know who I
Okay.
said, but Jon Snow is what I meant.
Okay.
Because it's like I said, it's like a little mini book within a book. It was a lot more interesting. Like the whole lead up to him getting captured by the wildlings, it was a lot more interesting and a lot more kind of like action. I was gonna say action packed, but also like more suspenseful and more exciting. To read it in the book than to see how they just kind of like shorthanded everything and it just like played out silly in the show. And once again, I'm at a loss to understand
Yeah,
why
well, yeah,
they did
where are they
that.
going? Yeah, like where are they going? Where here I am again. Where are the freaking White Walkers? Like all they had to do before was like tip a toe over the wall, and then there was White Walkers right on their ass. And now they're just hanging out, just doing whatever. No White Walkers, no tragedy, no. What are we doing? Where are we
See, I
going?
don't know. I don't know. And this is difficult because I don't know. It's because it's so different. It's so different that I'm at a loss because I feel like they're trying to. Cause there's only two episodes left, and I guess they're just gonna throw in a bunch of stuff.
Only two.
I guess they're just gonna throw in a ton of stuff in the last two episodes because the chronology is different. For book two, and so that's why I get confused why they're doing things the way they are, and I can only think that they're trying to leave big surprises for the last two episodes, things that would have happened already. I mean, I guess they're trying to hold them back to the end.
But if season two is to cover book two, didn't more happen in book two? Like,
Yes, it did. That's what I'm saying. More happened, but it seems like they're trying to take all those interesting events and somehow like delay them to the end.
it seemed like they would have more material to make it more interesting and engaging along the way. It seemed like that you just don't put all of book two in the last two episodes and overwhelm.
I
Oh,
agree because
okay.
and that's how I thought it was gonna be because I would have thought, oh, all this stuff with Daenerys would happen in episode six. And all this stuff with Jon would happen like in episode seven. But instead it's like they're trying to put everything on standby, like all the different threads of the story. It's like they're trying to put everything on standby, and I guess they're just waiting for the end of the season to just be like, oh.
I don't think they're gonna pull it through. It seems like it's gonna fall flat.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it seems to me too. Or it seems to me that, oh yes, there'll be something exciting in the last two, but I feel like it won't make up for what's transpired already.
Now, I felt that, and sorry to bring up Walking Dead again, they did the same thing where they dragged ass throughout the entire second season, like really bad to where I was really bored. And the last two, literally the last two episodes, it was a crazy joyride. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like unevenness. Like, I mean, I know that happens in a lot of shows, and it happens all the time, and it's kind of disappointing because, to me, because, see, season one, Game of Thrones, they really did not tinker much. There's just one or two obvious things, but other than those things, everything is almost, like, right on with the book, and I think it's better that way, and it keeps it so that there's something more exciting along the way to keep you going.
Well, have you read anything that said why they were doing it this way? Cause I haven't run across any.
No, I haven't yet on anything on this season. Because, well, when I talk to people who are just watching Game of Thrones and haven't read it, they all seem to generally be liking it. Like, they just seem to be okay. And it's, I feel like it's just me, but I need to talk to more people who have read it to get their opinions. But it's just, things are weird. Like, the thing that still throws me is Robb Stark's love interest.
Oh, yeah, that got crazy this episode.
But as I mentioned this before, as far as I've been reading, she has never spoken a line of dialogue yet, like, in the books.
She's spoken plenty of dialogue.
I know. It's weird. Okay, let me fill you in on some of the stuff that's been cut. Like, for instance, ever since Brienne and Catelyn escaped the massacre or whatever happened with the Shadow, they head back to River Run, where she's from. And and in the books, she goes straight back to her castle where her dying father is in River Run.
Mm-hmm.
And she's waiting there. And there's this whole subplot with her and her father on his deathbed and all this stuff. And she's just waiting there at the castle because Stark, her son, is out there battling and whatever, but we don't ever really see it. I mean, in the book, we don't ever see it. We just know he's out there fighting fights. And then he finally returns to the castle at River Run where his mother is, after he's been gone forever. And it's just like, oh, by the way, this chick married her. And it's like,
oh,
what?
No!
And it's just like, oh, what? Okay. And you're like, all right, I gotta go back to battle. And he's gone. We never hear her speak. We never hear the story of how they met.
Well, then just, on the other hand, then I like this a little better because we get to know her a little bit. We know, like, she had a whole story with a river and a...
Apparently.
Yeah, so...
But there's a reason, I mean, in the book, why I think they gloss over it.
Why?
I mean, because it's to make a point. It's to make... the point in the book, which I guess this will play out later, I don't know, is that Rob should never have married this girl. Him marrying this girl is just as dumb as his mom letting Jaime Lannister go. Because in season one and in the book, Rob made a promise to the Freys when he crossed the bridge. And they mention it,
mm-hmm.
that he was going to marry one of the Frey women for political reasons. And now he's going to go against that promise and just marry this girl who's not really... See, he's like a king. He's like a king's stature. And if you're like that, you need to marry someone important. Like an important princess or someone. And this girl is essentially nobody in the world of Game of Thrones. And so in the Game of Thrones, you don't marry because of your heart. All right. That's just one of the rules. And he's breaking one of those cardinal rules. And so I think so there's a reason why she doesn't get developed, because it's like, we don't need to develop her because all we need to know is that Rob's out of his mind. And has, like, this weird puppy love that's, like, I guess the one chink in his armor, at least up to this point in the story. and it's so weird that we don't even hear her speak, really, in the books. And yet, obviously, she's, like, a full fleshed-out character now.
Well, I guess it's better in the TV show because they fleshed her out there, because just, like, not her not having spoken anything, like, how do you fall in love with this chick? You know, that's ridiculous. So I'm kind of glad a little bit, and I like her. I have
oh,
a
I don't
feeling.
Dislike her.
I have a feeling she might die a horrible death, but who knows? Or because of, you know, he broke that promise that it's just going to go really bad for him.
Well, see, up to this point, the phrase has sort of been like the allies to the Starks, and, you know, now what's going to happen? Don't know.
We don't know. So, what was... Because I still can't place what's going on with the onion flag guy and the other guy. What are they doing? Who are these people again? And what are they doing? Was that the guy who had the weird lady who gave birth to the black smoke from Lost? Or what?
He was the one who, like, rode the boat that took her across. He's the onion guy is.
But he's, like, having the onion guy... like, you're gonna be my hand. I didn't think that he was a king that way, to have a hand, or...
Well, okay, so you're talking about Stannis.
So that's Stannis.
Stannis is the one... Yes, yes, okay.
But, so who is the one who got the lady pregnant? Is that a
Stannis different... Stannis got her pregnant. That's Stannis.
But who's the person...
Look.
Confusing.
Okay, do you remember the king in season one before everything got crazy?
Yes.
The big fat one with the beard?
Yes.
Okay, so he had two brothers, Renly and Stannis. Renly was his younger brother, and Stannis was his older brother.
Do I know Renly? Who's Renly?
Yeah, and Renly was in season one and season two. Renly was the one who was, like, super overconfident, and he was also having, like, the gay love on the side.
Oh, that guy, and he got killed by the black smoke.
Yes, that was Renly.
Okay.
And then Stannis is the older brother. So Stannis is the rightful heir, okay?
Because now, because...
Well, I mean, he always was since the original king got killed by the boar in season one. It should have gone to Stannis. He should have been, like, you know, next in line. But Renly is like, dude, nobody likes Stannis. That's the thing. Nobody likes Stannis anywhere because Stannis is so cold and, like, stoic and whatever. He's not a people person. Mm. And Renly is, like, a people person. So Renly's like, screw my older brother. I want to be king. And, of course, they had that face-off. And, yes, Stannis is the one who brought in the Scarlet Witch, or the lady with the crazy red hair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Stannis. And so he's the one who, you know, so he used the dark magic via... the lady with red hair to do the shadow to kill his brother, his younger brother Renly. And Stannis is now poised with his ships to take on King's Landing. Excuse me. With their ships. The Onion Knight, or whatever, is the guy with the beard, the short beard. And his backstory is during the war, he was Stannis was trying to defend Storm's End, or maybe wherever that...
Helm's Deep. Sorry.
No, actually, I think it was whatever they call that Dragon Island, where he's at right now. Whatever the heck that place is called. Dragonstone, or whatever the heck it is. Stannis' job during the war a long time ago, when the original king became king, when they defeated... Rhaegar, the last of the, God, I wish I could remember all these people's names.
You remember way more than I do.
Cause well, yeah.
What the hell is...
Because, what's his name? Was his name Aerys or Rhaegar? The Mad King.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
See, there's this whole backstory about when Robb Stark, I mean, not Robb Stark. What's original Stark's name?
Yeah, that guy from Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Lord of the Rings Stark.
How can we forget his name?
Because he's dead.
Yeah, but original Stark when he was when he was a young guy, and original King and Baratheon when they were young, and Jaime Lannister was like a teenager. Like they all band together to defeat Daenerys' father, who was the Mad King Targaryen, and during the war. This all happened like 20 years prior.
Eddard.
Sorry. Eddard, yes. Thank you. And during the Great War that happened 20 years ago, Stannis' job was to defend like the Dragon Island or whatever. And he talks about in this episode how he was starving because they had nothing to eat and they're eating animals and whatnot. And the Onion Knight, he was a smuggler at that time. And he was the only guy who was sneaky enough who could like... navigate his little ship like through the rocks at night. he was the only way that they, like, stayed fed, because nobody else could, like, get through the blockade, and because of his service, that's how he became the Onion Knight, and he's kind of, like, the most trusted person that Stannis has because of that. But because he was a smuggler, and smuggling was, like, illegal, they only mention this briefly in Series 2, but the Onion Knight, like, his punishment for being a smuggler was that he got all his first digits of his fingers cut off. They only mention it briefly. He always wears gloves, if you notice. And he has a little pouch on his belt where he keeps the bones to remind him of, like, his past crimes.
That is savage.
Dude, the books are awesome. Like, there's so much... It's such a fully realized, detailed world. Because there's so much going on. Again, things that are cut.
So I'm kind of feeling like they mismanaged this season a little bit.
It's not as good as the first. Certainly not. As I already said, the first is very, very true to the book. Like, all the key points are there. All the key moments are there. Not true for season two.
I just feel like there's some mismanagement going on. Like, I really would have... Like, you just recapped the whole story tonight, but the bones and the tips of the fingers and his... They didn't say that tonight. Did they say that tonight? They didn't say that tonight.
No, they didn't say that tonight. It was just a throwaway line. That's very
interesting. I know, but that's very interesting. And I would have enjoyed hearing that story because I was really engaged.
See, there's a lot of stuff like that. Because... Again, in the beginning, Stannis has a wife that he has over there, but...
Met her?
I don't know if they may have... I know they mentioned her in the beginning. I don't know if they actually showed her in episode one or two. He actually has a wife, but he also has a daughter with his wife, and his daughter's, like, in the book. She's a really sweet young girl, but she has, like, some kind of weird, like, facial deformity. Like a minor deformity, but she's like a super nice girl, but then she just has this weird deformity. And then she also has like this court jester who is like some weird crazy dude that they call like the monkey, like his nickname or something. And he's always like saying these weird rhymes, but there's like, if you listen to his rhymes, it seems like there's prophecy in his rhymes. And it's all this weird texture and whew, it's like all cut out of, you know, like none of this exists. In the actual story. There's other battles. And again, I mean, the battles, I guess, I understand, because it's all for budget. Because there's other battles that would have happened that they just completely cut out. It's just, I don't know. It's like they're just reusing the sets from season one for the most part. And it's things are boiled down to conversations.
Yeah, I'm so glad that Lord Lannister left that crazy room and rode off on his horse, because if I had to have another conversation with What's-Her-Face pouring wine and us just listening over her shoulder, Arya, I just, you're killing me, because I'm not even listening to what these guys are saying, because it's not action, they're just like
That was also different. In the series, they were captured right away and taken to Harrenhal. Arya and the big kid and the fat kid. In the book, I mean, they were running around like in the woods trying to like survive and hide from the Lannister forces for a long time before they eventually got captured. And then they were held at a village for a while and having to deal with all that torture stuff before they finally ended up in Harrenhal. But instead in the series, they just end up in Harrenhal right away. And so then we just end up with all these conversations, like with her pouring wine, as you say. Whereas those things took place when they were like on the lam and like trying to like constantly escape the Lannister forces in the woods. Yeah. And, oh God! And no, because I still don't know what's going on with Bran and Rickon, and I know they're with Hodor and Tonks or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing is, okay, obviously they're not going to magically show up. I don't think in the next two episodes. But before all this craziness went down in Winterfell, with Theon, these two children come up to Winterfell from the marshlands, which they haven't even explained the marshlands
Yeah, I'm sorry, what the hell is Marsh?
Because again, I guess they just cut it for time. There's this area in central Westeros, which is like the marsh, that these people who live out like in the marshes, obviously, and these two strange children come up from the marshes and go up to Winterfell, and they meet Bran and everything, and you have to picture them, because like they're kind of like humans. Like I picture them in my head dressing kind of like Ewoks. Mm. I mean, like more primitive is what I mean, like with, you know, animal right. skins and like spears or something, like handmade spears. And they're marsh people, and they have all these weird stories from the marshlands, and it's a boy and a girl, and their brother and sister, and they're young. They're like, well, like Bran's age. But the kid has like the boy has like special, like weird prophecy like dreams, or he can somehow see the future kind of in a weird vague way, and he knows there's something special about Bran, and both him and his sister are trying to convince Bran to open his third eye and embrace it. Wow. And when they flee from Winterfell, like they are going along with them, and they're like really important, or they seem like important characters. Their last names are Reed, like the Reeds. Mm. They're called frog people. It's just the nickname for their people. And it's like, I don't know how they don't exist.
Well, because they gave Bran the dreams, and they just cut them out, right?
Yeah, well, no, see, Bran has his own, he has his own dreams.
So that's separate from the...
Yeah.
Because I was thinking maybe it was like, well, if he have dreams, why do we need the kids? And he can just have his own prophecy dreams, and we don't need the kids.
Yeah, but yeah, Bran's dreams are different than the boy's dreams, the other boy, but the other boy seems like really important, and like they know all these weird stories, and they're like... They bring in all this information about other stuff but because they're completely cut out of the series, like I'm very confused, because they were almost like Bran's Obi-Wan Kenobi type person, like because they just knew all this stuff that Bran had never heard of, like having to do with magic, because the Reeds like heavily, their culture believes in magic heavily, and they're trying to, you know, open Bran's mind to this idea. And they don't exist, and it like really bothers me, because I was like, oh, I can't in my head, I can't wait for the Reeds to show up, and like they never show up, and so I'm very confused.
It's like that one senator's daughter, or governor's daughter in Hunger Games, that's just cut out of.
Much bigger than that, though, in my opinion.
Really? Wow. Because yeah. I was pretty upset when she was cut out, because she kind of seemed like that helpful.
The Reeds really important. I mean, they help escort them when like I said.
Maybe you think, you know, do they still have time to show up? Is there, like, your room in your imagine? No?
I don't think so. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't see how they could just show up now. I don't know how they're going to fill in those blanks.
Well, we still have... Didn't you mention last week that Daenerys never lost her dragons? Am I correct in hearing?
I think so. I think she never lost her dragons.
I don't know what they're doing with that then. Like, because we're still talking to the guy, and she's still touching him on the face and saying, help me find my babies. Help me find my dragons. And, like, on with it. Let's get the damn dragons. Let's move.
We'll see. Oh, that's another disappointing plot thread, because they tease this as, like, what was it? Like, the cliffhanger of episode 6 or something? The one where the dragons were taken at the end of the episode. And so I thought, oh, for sure, then this is where we're going to go in the next episode. And now it's been 2 episodes, and they haven't yet gone there. And I'm just,
Well, if it's exciting, then it's going to be in the last 2 episodes, maybe.
Yeah, I guess, but why couldn't it have already happened? And because the way I feel is, why couldn't it have already happened? Because there still seems like there's so much that we can still do. That happens. That actually happens in the last 2 episodes. So it's painful.
I don't know what they're doing. It feels slow, but maybe they're just filling in time for whatever reason. Maybe they want to make the last 2 episodes epic, which it feels like this season has been short because nothing has happened.
I agree. It's just, I just don't understand. I don't, it felt much more even to me episode by episode in season one, and it's just, it seems all lopsided in season two.
I want us to seriously eat crow for the next 2 weeks. Like, I want us to have been like, oh, piss, moan, whine, and then these next two episodes to just blow our socks off.
Because I honestly wonder, was their budget, like, severely cut for season two versus season one? And
they don't have the guy from Lord of the Rings anymore, so they should have, like, budget should have been cut a little bit because they didn't have to pay that guy.
A lot of it is honestly, like, a lot of things that they cut that would have made things more interesting were scenes that had to do with, like, kind of pursuits and chases, but things that would have involved filming outdoors and whatnot. And honestly...
What you're saying, that would be, like, good for budget because it's not that expensive?
No, I'm saying, I guess they cut it because they would have had to do all these much more location shoots had they included those bits. Instead, they've cut them and reduced it to conversations in tents.
Right.
Or conversations just walking in a field, basically.
I don't know if they're going to make it. I thought this show was going to last a long time.
No, I think it's going to keep going.
But it's just so... Like, you're kind of ruining me because, you know, I want to see all this extra stuff that's in the books, and I'm not 100%, I'm not, like, really dissatisfied, but I'm not 100% all over it. So, I mean, there's something missing.
Oh, there's definitely something missing. But I think it's still enough that people overall are satisfied. I think... There's going to just be bigger and badder things to come. And I don't mean next year. Maybe 2 years from now. In the end, I think it'll be worth it. In the end, I'm certainly much more glad they're making it than not making it.
Yeah.
And George R. R. Martin, the author, I mean, I know he works with the production crew. So that seems strange to me, too. So he must have agreed on some level to a lot of the changes and whatnot. Because he has a hand in this, too.
Well, maybe he has a hand in it if he agrees not to bitch about how they're taking stuff out.
I don't know.
he has a muzzle or whatever.
I know he's involved, and I know
a gag order rather.
Because I don't know. It's a bit perplexing, but I'll be happy after the season's over to go just full on and just.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to...
And say, like, okay, this is how it really happened.
Well, Rob. I mean, then if you tell us, then maybe they might pull some stuff from season two into season three, or I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know. Well, unless you have any... one more thing I want to add is... I already talked about the dragons, so I think I'm done.
Yeah, that stuff should be cool if we ever get to it. Should have happened already, but...
So, in book two, does Joffrey die? Because I'm sick of him.
You want me to tell you straight up?
No, I don't want you to tell me. That was kind of rhetorical. But, I'm tired of this guy. I'm ready for this kid to go. He is a demon spawn from... He's literally a son of a bitch. And...
At least they kind of addressed it. I think that was last week's episode. They talked about... Cersei had an extended conversation with Tyrion about that. About the whole inbreeding. And Tyrion was like, well, you did pretty good. Because at least two out of three weren't crazy. And Cersei goes, yeah, I know. Because the Targaryens, as she brings up, the Targaryens, Daenerys' family line, they're known for, hooking up with their siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I guess they explain away why the Targaryens have always had so many crazy kings, like, throughout the years and generations. And the Lannisters are kind of, like, second to that, because they're known to dabble. I don't know, this is, now, see, I don't know if this stuff bores people, but this is the kind of stuff that I find interesting in reading the books, because, yeah, you have to be into something that's, like, huge, like Lord of the Rings, because there's this whole history where everything makes sense. Like, they always talk about Valyrian steel, Valyrian steel. Like, do you know what Valyrian, okay, because I know Game of Thrones, I know it's all fake, obviously, it's like Middle Earth or whatever, but so much of it is based on our real world and our real world history. It's just, like, almost like alternate universe, sort of. Because Valyrians in the world of Game of Thrones were like the Romans. And geographically speaking, things are in the same place. Like, Westeros is kind of like where England is. Where Daenerys is now is in Carth. It's sort of like where, I guess, Constantinople is in real life in Turkey. The Valyrians, when they existed in the history, in this fictional world, they lived in a place that was somewhere like around where Greece is.
Okay.
Greece or maybe Italy. And that's where the Valyrians lived. And they were this ancient civilization thousands of years ago that were like the high civilization and super advanced until they got completely destroyed. No one knows what cataclysm like completely destroyed the Valyrian race. And then they spread out. And the Valyrians were like light-skinned, light-haired people. And the Targaryens, they all have white hair. And they're like the purest bred from the Valyrian line. So they have like Roman blood. And they were like people who, after Valyria blew up or whatever, their people, they spread out and they landed on the east coast of Westeros back then in ancient times. See, now the Starks, they always talk about they're related from the First Men. They're like the equivalent of
Scotland?
Anglo-Saxons. Yeah,
and
they were the people who inhabited Westeros since ancient times, and so they're like people of that land, and the Valyrians are the ones who invaded, and the Valyrians have white hair, and Lannisters are like the next almost as pure as Valyrians. They all have blonde hair, so they're not quite the white-haired ones, but they're the blonde-haired ones.
Yeah, they are kind of close. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That makes so much sense now.
Yeah, and you just kind of learn this stuff because it's all, like, bit by bit. You get, you know, piecemeal by piecemeal throughout the books. You learn the history of the world. You guys make fun of that one guy who's doing favors for Arya because he talks like Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, he talks like Yoda because he's from this place called Brazos, and there was another character in season one who was from Brazos, and he also spoke like Yoda. It was a Sergio Farrell, the sword instructor, fencing instructor, the dance instructor.
Yeah.
I'm Sergio Fura. He's like my favorite character from season one and from the books.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was the first sword of Brazos. And see, that's how they talk in Brazos, like Yoda. And that's why that guy speaks like that. Because I don't know if they mentioned it in the show yet or not, but he's also from Brazos. So there's a reason why. And Brazos is a place that's sort of like Spain, I guess, in the fictional world of Westeros, which is why that guy kind of
He felt Spanish, the first guy, the swordsman teacher. This guy, not so much the new guy, the poet assassin guy.
Let's see what they show next week and we got, because he has a few more cards up his sleeve, that guy does.
He's dangerous, and I like him.
Yeah, no, he's very interesting. He's a very interesting character, for sure.
Like, because what is he doing the whole time? Like, where does he go? What is he doing? What is he up to? I want, like, just a story about him. But no, all we get is when little Arya is ready for somebody to die, she's just like, I need to find the man.
Oh, see, now, maybe because you just saw it, it's a little fresh in your mind. That's the part I want to go back and look at. What happened when he was like, you know, give me a name, and then she gives him his own name?
Because that means he'd have to commit suicide.
Right, but then what happens after that? Because
then she took his name back. She said, take my name back. And she took his name back, but she wanted him to kill Lannister, but he's like, that's too big. And he was like, well, then I'm going to give you your name back. And then she was like, no, don't give me my name. And then, well, I don't want you to kill anybody. I want you to let us escape. So he helped him escape, which ended in more deaths. So, I'm not sure what's
going on. That all makes sense. I just wasn't clear because I was like, wait, what just happened? Like, should I rewind?
Yeah, you probably should. I mean, it was like the last 3 minutes. You could have spared the change.
No, but that's all right. No, that makes sense, though. I don't know. We'll see what happens in the next two episodes, and then I can fully unload any other baggage I have, because I still have baggage. But
so you're holding back.
Well, yeah, because it still remains to be seen what's going to happen.
Oh, that's so interesting. It's like I'm almost really tempted to read them, but I know, like you said, that they were kind of tedious to read, and I thought Harry
They're
Potter.
just, it's just,
I thought
it, it's a big helping. It's a big, but you know what? Okay, because, you know, it's been a while since these
So, are you
things
doing
really.
reading or are you doing audiobooks? Maybe I'll go audiobooks because.
I think with the first two, I did a little bit of both because I had all these credits on like audible.com.
Oh, okay.
And not that they're a sponsor or anything, but I'm just saying I had all these credits laying around. And so I was like, I remember spending some time on a treadmill. And I'd be, you know what? No, it works though. Because like if you're on the treadmill and you're like on a particularly interesting chapter of Game of Thrones, and you're just like, wait, I'm not done walking yet. Because I wanted, because, oh, you know, oh. Look, if you do take the time to read it, you will see. Because of the unique perspective of the way the books is written, you will see the author, he tries to make every individual chapter a little bit interesting all on its own. So he always tries to, reading each chapter, and actually, it's a typical chapter length. It could be 10 to 20 pages long for a chapter. But each little chapter feels like a little vignette or a little, like something, like a little something to keep you going. They're interesting in of themselves. Because, okay, for those who don't know, one of the things that makes this series really appealing to read is that each chapter, they're chronological, but each chapter is the name of a different character, usually the primary characters. And so let's just say this first chapter is called Eddard. We are in Eddard's head or point of view for that whole chapter, for 20 pages or so. So we hear Eddard's inner thoughts and his motivations and what he's thinking. But then, next chapter will be Daenerys. Obviously, we'll be off with Daenerys. But then when we return, it might be now Cersei is the name of the third chapter, let's just say. So now we're in Cersei's head, and we can see if she's interacting with Eddard. Now what's going on in her head, and what does she think about what he's been
Oh
doing?
man, that
And
is
what's really interesting is,
layered.
like, one thing that I thought was interesting, like, in book two, is, like, Bran. Brienne's an awkward chick, is she not? And
What? I thought
Bran.
Bran was the kid.
No, that's Bran.
Bran.
Brienne.
Oh, is that the big soldier lady?
Yeah, with the short
Okay.
blonde hair. She's an awkward broad, to put it lightly. It's
Oh.
interesting in the books because there's chapters with Brienne where we're in Caitlyn's head. And Caitlyn obviously can see Brienne, and in Caitlyn's head, it's like Caitlyn's wondering, like, wow, the awkward woman, she probably has, some type of a noble heritage, and I wonder why she loves her king so much. And so Cersei looks, I mean, not Cersei,
Kill.
Caitlyn looks at her in that way, at least with respect, and calls her, like, maybe the awkward, Amazonian. I don't know, they don't say that, but
Yeah,
you know what I
something
mean?
like it, yeah.
At least that's how it's described in Catelyn's terms. But then when you get to the chapters where it's Jaime, over in Jaime's head now, even in Jaime's, like, because you hear everything's written in Jaime's, like, way or his perspective. So it'll say stuff like, Jaime was wondering if that wench could hold a sword, and damn that wench, is she, like, has it been ages since she's been laid? And, like, does this wench, does she think more about women or men? Like, so you.
Actually, they kind of had that conversation out loud in this
Oh, they
episode.
did. But that, say, that's what, but that's what makes the book good, is because it's like now we're in Jamie's head. So now everything's written with Jamie's kind of, like, slang and slant on things. Whereas with Catelyn, it's like all proper, and it's, that's what makes it fun, and that's what really makes the characters come to life.
So, if the book is read to you, do you have different authors, or the one author is just changing it up, or is he just reading straight?
It's one reader. He's pretty good. It's not the author. Oh
I
wait.
mean, well, that's what I meant, a reader. I'm sorry.
You mean the guy who reads the audiobook?
Yeah. Does he
Oh, it's
switch it up for each character, or does he read it dry?
he's one of those guys who does the whole voice change and
Sweet.
like Tyrion's voice so sticks in my head from the audiobook. Because what does he always say? Oh, I used to, when I was listening to it last year, I had all these little phrases stuck in my head because of the audiobooks. Because Tyrion always talks about, oh, what is this, the food that he always likes to. Oh, a capon, which I never knew what that was. I think it's some sort of like chicken or something.
Mm.
And how does Tyrion talk in the audio? He's like, I could really use the grilled capon right now, and like, a succulent capon would be. And I like, he would say it so much, and I'd listen to it the way he would say it, and I'm like, wow, like my mouth would start watering, like a grilled capon, like whatever the heck a capon is. Like, someone go get me one, because it started sounding really delicious. Because he'd be like, a capon with yams and like this and that, and like, it just sounds delicious.
That's like, hilarious. Yeah.
But, no, it's good times. The audiobook is too. It'll throw you somewhat because some of the characters have their names, like it might be Caitlin in the series, but Catelyn in the audiobook. Some things will throw you like that. But it's good, and you'll get to, it may be interesting because it's been a while since you've seen season one, and when you get all the blanks filled in and you start getting all the backstory and really learning what makes all these different characters tick, you know, it may be worth it because there's definitely a lot to fill in.
I just feel like season two has left things out, and I'm very unsatisfied. Well, not wholly satisfied with it, not 100% dissatisfied, but, you know, I want more. So if I want more, I got to read it, and that's what happened with me and Harry Potter, so.
I think it's worth it. And again, I think it's interesting, the fake history, and I don't know how different people feel about that, but I think it's interesting to hear about how they all got here.
I'll give book one a shot, and if I like it, I'll keep up with it, and if not, I'll just go back to reading the Dresden Files.
But it's definitely something that I think, because, I mean, I'm doing it myself. Like, I read it, and then, like, it's good, but then, like, I gotta take a break. Like, I gotta take a breather, read something else, you know, get away from it, and then go back to it.
I hope the next two episodes really just knock us out the park, because I'm ready for it. But any last thoughts?
Well, I'm good, but we're definitely gonna beat this thing one way or the other after the finale. Recoup a little bit of a face, or they may not.
I hope so. I hope they do, because I'm really rooting for this show, because it's so beautifully done. So.
Oh, it is. Totally agree.
Yeah. Guys, if you want to leave us a comment about Game of Thrones or anything else, go to scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline or a message on facebook.com/scifipartyline. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.